Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You want to know why Gus Frerotte has the heart of a champion? Because he was down by two games, was not having a good stretch the last few weeks. He started to talk a lot of smack, and I thought he was nervous talking smack. Well, sometimes when you're not performing well, you got to go what Todd Haley told us early in the week. You just got to start yelling at everyone and going crazy and freaking out. And that's what Gus Frerotte did. And I'm not going to say it intimidated me. I'm just not great at picking games. I go 1-2. Gus goes 3-0. And let's be real, it's a fortuitous 3-0, by the way. Because if the Arizona Cardinals kick the PAT, I still have a game lead. But you are what your record says you are. And right now, through 10 weeks, as we're in week 11 of the National Football League, myself and Gus Frerotte have the same record, an identical record of 16-13-1. So the fact that we're above 500 is good, but momentum is starting to shift. And now it's my job to go get it back. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. We need an expert to help navigate the home loan process. Rocket can now join me as he does each and every Friday in football season at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. He is the Pro Bowl quarterback and the excellent host of the Huddle Up with Gus podcast that had Matthew McConaughey on this past week. Big, big news right there for Gus Frerotte, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Gus, I got to give you credit. You did a lot of talking last week, but you backed it up. I respect that.
Well, you know, you got to do a little bit. You know what I mean? It's really not like I'm getting hit by anybody out there, so I can do a little smack talking if I want.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not driving to Pittsburgh to go tackle you right now. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you have yet to come to Pittsburgh. I think you were kind of excited this whole pandemic happened, that you didn't have to come buy me a steak.
Well, hold on. I was actually advocating that we were going to fly to Pittsburgh. I was going to take the whole show crew out. Then Mikey B left me. Then D-Ben left me. Then we have this coronavirus pandemic. I'm down to come to Pittsburgh, but we were going to make this a weekend, hit some golf balls, go to a Pirates game, and then I would buy you a bunch of steak and we would drink a lot of beer and wine. But right now, I just don't know if it's safe to go to Pittsburgh.
I don't know if it's safe to go to anywhere right now.
That's a good point.
You know what? When this clears up, I think you got to come to Pittsburgh because we need a little Zach Gelb in Pittsburgh to brighten our day.
That's true. And I'm not loved in Pittsburgh, but in Milwaukee right now, Gus Frerotte, they love me because I'm keeping Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee and defending the Milwaukee Bucks from the big bad NBA that's trying to get him out of Milwaukee.
Yeah, what do you say? I mean, I don't know. My son said they think he's going to the Heat. And I said, I don't know. I think Milwaukee's going to do everything they can to keep him, but I could be wrong.
He's still under contract for another year, but the big thing is, as you know, is the Supermax right now. If he signs that extension, boom, everyone's going to be having a parade. Well, you know what I mean, a parade on Twitter, not a parade in the streets right now.
Right.
And then if he doesn't sign the Supermax, the next year, Miami, Golden State, the Lakers, he could just talk about all those possible destinations. All right, one football question before we get to the picks. Gus Frerotte here with us, Huddle Up with Gus. Is our weekly guest doing picks each and every week, a little head-to-head competition. So the Saints, it looks like they're going to start Taysom Hill on Sunday. I thought they would be going with Jameis Winston. Did that surprise you? What do you think about the possibility of Taysom Hill starting on Sunday against Atlanta?
I don't know. I mean, he's got some game experience, but not a quarterback like Jameis Winston would have. and coming down into the season to take your team to the next level. I think they're going to be without Breeze through the rest of the year. You know, Jameis has a lot of experience. I think somebody like Sean Payton can kind of keep those INTs down. It's a risky call, but, Sean Payton knows that team better than anybody else.
This is probably it for Drew Brees, right? Because he's now on the IR, so he's out for at least 3 weeks. I expect him that he'll be back at some point because this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, but you got to feel, I thought this way going into the year before the injury, this was going to be his final season. Would you agree after 5 fractured ribs and a collapsed lung, probably his wife and his kids are probably saying, Dad, it's time to wrap it up, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, that's kind of how Joe Montana went out, right? With the Chiefs, when he got hit in the sternum and cracked his sternum the whole way down. That was kind of it for him, too. It's hard to come back when you're older and you have those types of injuries, and you just don't heal up like you used to. And a rib injury for a quarterback is really tough, really, really hard. I've had a few of those, and with Breeze being as old as he is, I don't see him coming back either. But you never know. He's kind of a wonder kid.
That first hit back after the rib injury heals, and it's never 100% because you're trying to get back on the field as quick as possible, that's got to be brutal, right?
If it's healed, it's really not. You know what I mean? If you come back before it's healed and then you re-injure it, then that is really brutal. But there's this great thing called, medication out there that you can go into a game and really not feel anything.
I guess you had a few of those games where they give you some medication, right?
Oh, yeah. Many of those games.
All right. I lied to you. One more before we get to the picks. Lamar Jackson, is there a level of concern for you about where Lamar's game is at right now? How do you classify Lamar as a quarterback?
You know, it's kind of funny. I've been on Twitter fighting with some people over Lamar. And my personal feeling is I feel he has all the components personally and the talent. I feel like the team is not there around him. I don't think he has top-notch receivers. His best receiver is Mark Andrews, is a tight end, who's an amazing tight end. But they've had tons of injuries. Teams are going to say, okay, we're going to stop the run. We're not going to let you run the ball. We're going to throw it. But who does he really have out on the outside running routes that can get open? Now, here and there, they're going to get – he makes some plays. But I feel like Lamar still – I mean, I think he's 22 or 23 years old. He's got a lot left in the tank, and I think if they put some good receivers, I mean, if he had some of the other wide receiver corps, just think if Lamar Jackson had the Atlanta Falcons receivers corps, how good he would be.
It's a great point that you bring up, and I hate to say that it was a bad thing that he won the MVP because it makes no sense, but when you win an MVP at such a young age and then have the postseason performance that you had last year, it kind of almost gives you a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths of how the season ended, even though he had a really good season, where now people are saying, can he get the job done? Can he get the job done? When this was a guy that won an MVP last year, so we know he's a good quarterback. Does he have parts of his game that he could improve? Sure. But I'm with you. I think he's a good quarterback. We'll see if he can continue to be great. But the weapons, they just don't have him there at the wide receiving spot. And you look at that offensive line, you're missing a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame who retired at a guard spot, Marshall Yanda, who retired. And then Ronnie Stanley, your best left tackle, one of the best left tackles in the league, he leaves. So a lot is working against him. And I don't think we really factored that in this year because we were so focused on Lamar in the year that he had a year ago.
Yeah, you know, I look at it, if you think about a guy that was just, he's a Hall of Famer, was an amazing player that everybody wants to be like, was Dan Marino, went to Super Bowl early and never really – never won one, never got back there, but was just endeared. He was just an amazing talent, amazing player. And I feel the same way with him. You know, he didn't have that great running game, didn't have some components that would let him get over the top or maybe even an outstanding defense. So, I think there's a lot of room left for Lamar, and I think he's a good kid. He's got a good head in his shoulders, and I see him, if it doesn't work out this year, he's going to have an even better next year.
Since you bring up Dan Marino, it's crazy because Phillip Rivers just passed him in the all-time passing list, and it's a complete different era. This guy, Marino, would have ate up. I'd ate up the league when he played, but in this era, his numbers would be ridiculous.
I just don't. You try to watch people to see if they're anything like him. The way he delivered a football, the way it got out of his hands, and the accuracy that he delivered. I mean, he was just an amazing talent. It was so much fun to watch Dan play, and it's just no wonder that he, not only people out there that idolize him, there's so many quarterbacks that grew up idolizing him because of the way he played the game. And I don't know if we'll ever see another one like him.
All right, Gus Frat, you won last week. You were 3-0. Back to your winning ways. What's your first pick this week?
Man, this week's fun. I think I got a lot of underdogs this week because it's crazy how they pick these games. But my first one is an underdog, and they're getting 1.5. And I'm going to take the Packers playing the Colts.
It's funny. Two great minds think alike. I don't know if you heard me earlier. Probably you didn't. But I said I was going to take two underdogs this week and try to get under Gus's skin here and throw him for a little curveball. I have the Packers as well. Now it looks like Devontae Adams is going to play. There's some question about that earlier in the week. My only concern about the Packers is they don't have a good run defense, and we know how good that Indy offensive line is. But I'm going to trust Aaron Rodgers going up against Phillip Rivers. Rodgers protects the football better than Phillip, and I think the Packers on the road, they not only cover the 1.5, but they're going to win this game outright. I think it could be close, but it kind of feel 30-23. Type of game. So I take the Packers. We're in agreement there. Both take the Packers plus 1.5. What's your next game?
Wait. Did you go back and look at your scores? Or were you close on any of your scores from last week?
I don't have them in front of me. I lied to you last week. I've been doing a lot of lying to you in this segment. I will start keeping track of those scores. Now, to people out there, don't take that as the advice on the over-under. It's just whatever number I think about in the moment. But I like the Packers 30-23. So I will put this in the document that I saved this week, and we'll follow the scores.
Yeah, I'm gonna see the Zach L. Witt's wisdom on the scores. All right, my next pick is another underdog. And I'm sure you know what this one is, but they're getting 3.5. They're going into the dome. I think they're going to have a good game. My boy Foya Lucon is going to be leading that defense, but I'm going to take the Falcons at the Saints.
Wow. That is a pick I did not expect you to make there. Just because, and I wouldn't surprise, it would surprise me if the Falcons win the game, but you hear that. And it's one of those games that I think everyone's just going to assume the Saints are going to win, and maybe it ends up being a game that the Falcons are in. Do you think they win the game, the Falcons?
I think they have a very good shot to win the game. I mean, Matt Ryan and the Falcons know that team better than anyone. Matt's had some big games against them. He has a great receiving core right now. I think they're all pretty darn healthy. Obviously, the Saints' defense is – the run game is great. I see the Saints throwing the ball – or the Falcons throwing the ball a lot. Now – can the Falcons come out and stop Alvin Kamara? If I'm Taysom Hill, I'm trying to feed him the ball as much as possible. Michael Thomas has not done much. They haven't given him the ball much. I don't know why. He's my first pick in fantasy, and I haven't got any points out of him this year. But, I see the Falcons going down, and they played in that situation before, and now there's no crowd noise.
Yeah, see, this is something I'm also realizing. I had Christian McCaffrey in fantasy this year. He's been banged up the entire year. Michael Thomas, too. And then when he plays, at least McCaffrey gave me a nice productive week, but you're right. I wonder if there's something more there with the whole Michael Thomas situation. And also another thing I'm curious about with this game, I wonder where the money moves now knowing that it's – or now people thinking Taysom Hill is going to start because many people thought that was going to be Jameis Winston. So Gus Frat here with us. He's on the Falcons plus 3.5. We're both on the Packers plus 1.5. Here's my other upset pick. Now, we only have to do one upset each and every week, and I know you're not going to love this one just because it is your former football team. I'm trusting Joe Burrow this week on the road at FedEx Field. They're going up against Washington. I know the Alex Smith story is a good story, but it's a great story with how he's able to play. It's still mind-boggling to me, but I will trust Joe Burrow and that young offense to go on the road, cover the 1.5, and also win the game outright. Now, this game maybe go a little bit sloppier in the prediction. I'll go 21. Let's go 21-17. I will take the Bengals winning this game up against the Washington football team.
I like that pick, but you got to remember Joe Burrow's been hit a lot this year. His line's not that great, and those pass rushers down in Washington are pretty darn good.
It could decide the game. You know, that is one reason why I thought why that game would not win, and you hit the ball right out of the park. Hey, how about Alex Smith? Is he going to win comeback player of the year, even though the stats probably aren't going to be great with the offense? Just because of the story, does he win it, or do you think it goes to Big Ben because Big Ben's playing MVP ball and missed all last season?
No, I mean, I understand Big Ben, but his injury was nothing compared to what Alex Smith had. I mean, that was just a gruesome injury and the fight that he had to come back from. Nothing against Ben, but I think Alex Smith has to win Comeback Player of the Year coming in, playing again. It's a tough story, and just think about the other men who have had that injury and never came back. And just what a tribute to him going out and playing and even, you know, throwing the ball all around last week. He's doing a great job, and kudos to him. You know, he should win Comeback Player of the Year.
And it's wild that we learned that he almost lost his life when you go back to that. But I always wonder how people view those awards. And I think he will end up winning it. But I could see why, you know, I made the argument for Ben based off the stats, how much the stats factor in. But there's so many different factors, and it's such a vague award that with what he overcame, yeah, probably you're probably right. Alex Smith does win it. All right, I think you owe me one more pick.
Oh, go ahead. I thought you weren't a Big Ben fan.
Well, here's the thing. I don't dislike Big Ben. I was just critical of him one time. I've been telling people all throughout the year the Steelers were going to be damn good. And people go, oh, you hate Big Ben. Hey, you hate Big Ben. No, I just want him to be quiet when the whole Titans situation was going down.
Well, when you come to Pittsburgh, I won't remind anyone of that.
That's right. They'll be smacking me in the head with some terrible towels.
All right, my man. My last pick. All right. It's a good game. It's one of my old teams. I think they're playing really well. I think they're going to have a good game here, and I think that the Cowboys aren't doing so hot. So I'm going to take the Vikings over the Cowboys, even though they're giving up a touchdown.
Not a bad pick to pick against the Cowboys this year, even though the Vikings haven't been that strong, but you're right. They've been red hot as of late. They survived up against the Bears, and maybe they can make a late playoff push. If they win this game, they get back to 5-5. My final pick. They lost to this team the first time they played. They were at one point up, and then the game just got away from them. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game going away this week up against the Raiders. I like the Chiefs. Let's go 34-20. Chiefs win by 2 touchdowns. They cover the 8 points. So here are the picks this week. Zach Gelb going up against Gus Frerotte. We have the same exact record of 16-13-1, Trace? Are those the records? Yeah, 16-13-1. Just want to make sure that we get those right. My three picks, I go Packers +1.5, Bengals +1.5. How about those Chiefs -8? And Gus Frerotte goes Packers +1.5, Falcons +3.5, and Vikings -7. I like that we both roll with two dogs. Great stuff this week, Gus Frerotte. And tell us what you got coming up this week on the podcast. You got McConaughey last week. Now what's up this week? What's the encore here?
We're going back to football this weekend. I got Eric Davis and Mark Watts coming on. They have a good foundation out. So Eric Davis will be joining us on Huddle Up with Gus this week. You know, great defensive player. We had a great conversation. And, you know, join us on Huddle Up with Gus wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
McConaughey, he's still got to be on cloud 9. He loves you, man. He loves you.
Oh, yeah, we had a blast, you know, and, you know, it was a lot of fun. What a book he had. I listened to it on tape. It was just good to hear his voice, and we just had a good time. He's still waiting for Daniel Snyder to call him so he can help figure out what the name of the Washington football team is. So if you're out there, Dan Snyder, please call Matthew McConaughey so you can help him name the team.
I think he should come on this show and do picks with us 1 week. I think he'd be down for that, too.
I think he would be. Well, let's see if we can make that happen. I'll see if I can get that to work out for us.
I'd be all down. I'd be all in. That'd be awesome. Gus Frerotte, I guess we'll talk to you early next week because of Thanksgiving. We'll give you a buzz and we'll figure things out. But we'll talk to you then, so I won't say happy Thanksgiving yet.
All right, buddy. Have a good luck this week.
You got it. You too, I guess. There's Gus Frerotte. So once again, Packers +1.5 for yours truly. Bengals +1.5 for yours truly. Chiefs -8. And Gus goes Packers +1.5. Falcons +3.5. And Vikings -7. How about Gus? And now he's in my head again. Because I said to Trace, I got two underdogs this week. And I never go two underdogs. And then out of nowhere, Gus Virat goes to underdogs. Is there some collusion on this show? Did you tell him right before he came on the air, hey, Zach's going two underdogs this week. Maybe you should go two underdogs this week.
He must just be a big listener of the Zach Elf show. I mean, you gave away your own strategy.
I did.
Like, you know, in pregame warm-ups here, you're just basically running out the playbook, screaming, hey, guys, this is what we're going to run this week.
Hey, we're playing Taysom Hill this week.
And then you're like, oh, wow, how did everyone find out what plays we're running?
Yeah, it would not surprise me, actually. I know I said I don't think Gus listens. I know Gus listens to the show. And that just confirms it, reaffirms it to me, that he saw that and he goes, you know what, let me throw a little curveball at Gelb. Or maybe he just liked two underdogs. Falcons, I'll be curious if that one hits. If that one hits, he may win this contest this year. That's a big-time pick if he ends up nailing that one. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we got to give you straight winners and losers. We'll go through every game, who wins, who loses this weekend. We tell you that next, Week 11 National Football League right here. Where? It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if you saw this story. I think it's pretty interesting, but before I'll tell you about it, let me just remind you that Sunday, the NFL on CBS has a bunch of really good games. First up, obviously, Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans playoff rematch going up against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And then these two teams have a little bit of bad blood, more so a few years ago when the Jaguars beat the Steelers twice. Is Steelers-Jaguars going to be a fantastic game? I don't expect it. But they tell you in the read that it's going to be a good game. So I got to say it's going to be a good game. I think the Steelers are going to end up beating up on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Steelers are going to 10-0 before their rematch with the Ravens. If they could go to 11-0 or if the Ravens will maybe get some redemption. But make sure you check out the NFL Today on CBS as it begins on Sunday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The NFL is on CBS. Do you see this story out of Pennsylvania with COVID-19 going up around the country, how there was this thought that if you played for the Eagles or Pittsburgh and if you were playing in the state of Pennsylvania, you're going to have to wear a mask during a football game?
I did see that. And I think
it's backtracked now. Not going to happen.
I was going to say, because I know Pitt and I saw Virginia Tech were, I guess, planning on doing so tomorrow. They still might be. I got to double check, but they were planning on playing with masks.
Because I see an article from 3 hours ago, Washington Post. And this is the headline. Pennsylvania backtracks on in-game mask requirement for state's football teams. So here's what I'm going to say on this. I think wearing a mask is very important. I know some people say, oh, you know, don't get so political. No, I think it's important to wear a mask. Can it be uncomfortable? Yes. But you got to do your part right now in this world. When I work out, when I'm on an elliptical, I wear my mask for an hour. When I'm walking in the streets, I'll wear my mask. Now, if you're not around people, like when I'm in the city, I'm always wearing my mask. But if I'm not around people, if I'm out on Long Island for the weekend and I'm walking around the neighborhood and there's no one in that neighborhood, then yeah, I'll take the mask down. But if you're going to play in a football game and we're testing everybody, and there's a chance that you end up having COVID on the football field, to expect football players to wear a mask where that thing's going to be moving regardless and then you're on top of each other breathing, I don't think that would ever work. I don't think it would ever work. And what, are you going to find someone, which they have to coaches for not wearing a mask? For me, if you're going to play football, you could play football without a mask on. You can. To expect an Eagles or a Steelers player when they're playing at Heinz Field or Lincoln Financial Field to wear a mask, I just don't see how that works. It's one thing to ask someone to wear a mask like me when I'm on when I'm in a gym, you know, in my building, and I'm riding the elliptical. 100% all good. You know, around the office, they tell us to wear a mask unless if we're on the air. 100% all good. But in a football game, I don't see how that would work. Now, there were baseball players that did wear masks, but we're talking about a completely different speed, right? When did you just expect anytime you wear a mask on a football field, you're running, you're huffing and puffing, that thing is just going to fall off. It's not going to be it has maybe a good intention for this. I'm talking about the football game, just the football game on the football field. But I don't think it's realistic. I don't.
Yeah, it's not very practical. So
yeah. So did you see anything about the college game or no?
Yes. So they clarified it, like you said, when the rule came out today. I guess so. Both teams outfitted their players with it sounds like some special mask. It's not like it doesn't seem like a gator or a mask. It seems like
it's not my regular blue mask that I have right here, the surgical mask.
It sounds like these teams like created some sort of mask or face covering that I guess, would work if they had to wear it.
Gotcha. Now, they said, for example, when you go skiing, you wear that neck gaiter that covers up your nose and all that.
That you'd assume. Mm-hmm. Now, they said they don't have to wear it. They're not required to, but I guess they'll wear them maybe on their necks, or maybe it is like a gaiter. They want to pull them up, they can, but it's not required like it was before, earlier today.
Gotcha. Okay. So there you go. Right? At that point, if you're playing the game, how much can you actually do on the football field? I think it's more of an optics standpoint. I really, for example, when Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels are in a booth, and when they're in San Francisco, they're told to wear masks. Other states, they don't have to. Do they need to be wearing masks in a booth? I get why they're doing it. It's kind of more to send the message, I would imagine. But those two broadcasters are taking the risk. And right now, a lot of it is risk and want. And wearing a mask is very important. I'm not someone that says, oh, don't wear a mask. It's COVID doesn't exist, bunch of hogwash. I'm not one of those people. Farthest thing from it. But there's sometimes where you got to use the common sense. And making a football player while he's playing a football game wear a mask, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. Now, if it's Ryan Tracicki or Zach Gelb on an elliptical inside, wear a mask. And, hey, I wear glasses. That's the toughest part to figure out with the mask. You don't have glasses, Trace, right? I don't know if you have reading glasses or anything like that.
No, so thankfully I don't get to experience the fogging up.
The fogging is so difficult. And then I finally started to try to figure it out. And then last night, my glasses didn't break, but I need to go get an adjustment. So a little bit crooked. So just when you think you figure them out, then today I'm huffing and puffing walking to work and the glasses are all fogging up. So a lot of times when I'm walking on the streets, I take the glasses off now. All right. Enough of the mask talk. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It is sponsored, as always, by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Straight winners and losers. Steelers going to beat the Jaguars this weekend. No explanation needed. Lions and Panthers. Now, this is one that I'm not sure on. This is one that you could make a case for either team. And Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a game-time decision because of a knee injury. So if he doesn't play, you're looking at either Philip Walker, who also sometimes goes by PJ Walker, or you're looking at Will Greer. I trust the coaching staff of Carolina more then I trust the Lions coaching staff. The Lions are probably a better team, but they're banged up, especially on the offense side of the ball. They got a few wide receivers out. So, and you also have Matthew Stafford is listed as questionable. Now, Kenny Galladay and DeAndre Swift are out, and DeAndre Swift had a big game last week. I'm going to take, because of the coaching staff and the way that they are overachievers with the roster that they have this year, and no McCaffrey in this game, I'm going to take the Panthers to win this game. Patriots and Texans, I think it's closer than what people think, but the Patriots win. Tennessee at the Ravens. Trace, you give me your prediction on this one first. This is the lone game I'm going to ask you your thoughts on. I have my prediction, but I just want a different view for it.
I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think they're a better overall team than the Titans.
I'm going with the Ravens, too. I just can't, in good faith, go into this game and pick the Titans. Not that it's crazy to, with the way their special teams are playing, and the Ravens have Tucker. And then you look at the way that the Titans defense is playing, especially in big moments. This could be a close game. Get on the quarterback's going to be important. Third down's going to be important. I like the Ravens defense a whole lot better. Offensively, you could tell me that Tennessee is a better offense than the Ravens. I wouldn't say that's absurd. I wouldn't at all. But I got a feeling that Lamar Jackson does enough this week to get a victory, and the defense and special teams will be better for the Ravens than Tennessee. Watch. Justin Tucker will have like three missed kicks, which never happens. Eagles and Browns. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Woof, woof. I'm taking the Browns. This is a game, if you're Cleveland, you got to get to 7-3. You're sitting right now at 6-3. There's a lot of 6-3 teams in the National Football League. You have a game up against the Eagles. The Eagles are a bad football team this year. Not saying that the Browns are this spectacular football team, but I look at this Browns schedule, and you look at the next 2 weeks where you sit at 6-3. You should get to 8-3. You got the Eagles, and then you got the Jaguars the next week after that. Plus, you still have the Jets and the Giants on the schedule. So right there, I'm giving you four more wins that you should get. You should win all four of those games. You're going to the playoffs.
That would get you at least 10 wins. No excuses this week for the Browns. I know Myles Garrett's not playing. I know he is a tremendous player. You have to win this week. You just got to. Because you know you can't get Philadelphia, who, if they win the division, it's not because they're any good. The NFC least stinks. But you can't let Philadelphia, coming off that loss to the Giants, beat up on the Cleveland Browns. Chubb, Baker, get the job done this week. Falcons, Saints. You know what's weird going into the show? I said I couldn't see myself picking the Falcons to win this game. I'm starting to kind of get a feel that we could have an upset brewing, maybe. But I'm going with the Saints. I just trust Kamara too much. I don't like this Falcons defense. I think the Saints defense will do just enough. But this is one of those games, big circle on it, especially if Taysom Hill has started. Bengals and Washington, I already told you, like the Bengals to win. Jets, Chargers. No Sam Darnold in this game. I'm going with Herbert and the Chargers. They're like a 7.5 or 8-point favorite. Chargers, this is a game that's gifted to you. If you're up 24-3, you better not blow it to the Jets. Dolphins, Broncos rolling with Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins to get to 7-3. Cowboys, Vikings, Dalvin Cook's going to feast on the Cowboys. Kirk Cousins don't have a letdown game coming off of last week. Packers, Colts, I'm going with the Packers. If the Colts are going to win this game, it's going to be because of their defense, and it's also going to be because of their offensive line running through the Packers' defense. But I think Rodgers will win the turnover battle, and Phillip Rivers will have a pick or two, and the Packers end up winning the game. Chiefs and Raiders, Chiefs are annoyed. They're playing up this bus controversy. As crazy as it sounds, the Chiefs annoyed. I want no part of them. I want no part of them if the Chiefs are happy. I'm taking the Chiefs over the Raiders. And then Monday night, Rams and Bucks. I think this is a game that not a lot of people are talking about, but I think this has a very good chance of being kind of a 27-23 type of game. Brady has the ball late. He goes and scores a touchdown to Antonio Brown or something like that for Antonio Brown's first score as a Buck, and the Bucks win. But that Rams defense, sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. They're top five in almost every statistical category, and no one gives them enough credit. So I'm taking the Bucks to win the game, even though I think that they will frustrate Brady at times. But I just like the Bucks offense, and I think with their potential of that entire team with their defense too, I still think they're the best team in the NFC. If you had to make me pick a team, I would go with them, and it's tough to pick who's the best team in the NFC. So I'm taking the Bucks, the Chiefs, Packers, the Vikings, Dolphins, Chargers, Bengals, Saints, Browns, Ravens, Pats, Panthers, and the Steelers. Week 11 National Football League will come on back, and we'll ring the closing bell.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Wrapping up shop on a Friday. Wow, this week really did fly by. Sunday I'm playing a little golf. See, that's what I like to do. Now, it's incredible I'm going to be able to play golf in late November, nearly approaching December. Thanksgiving is next week. But the weather this week here in New York, it was freezing Monday, Tuesday. And Wednesday started to get a little warmer. Thursday started to get a little warmer. And then today, I wore a jacket and I was sweating. I was schwitzing, as they would say on the way to work. Now, on Sunday morning, it's supposed to be about 58 degrees. So that's good enough. So I'm going to play golf, only 9 holes, 10 a.m., get back by kickoff, boom, sit on my couch and be a fat pig and just eat a bunch of food on Sunday. Got to eat a lot of food on a football Sunday. Got to pace yourself, but you got to eat some good food. Kind of be the appetizer for Thanksgiving, I guess, on a Sunday. All right, reports are that Taysom Hill will start at QB for the Saints on Sunday. Who should start at QB for the Saints? 58.7% say James, or 59.2% final calculation say Jameis Winston. 40.8 say Taysom Hill. I'm on the Jameis Winston train. Now, I got a good tweet at Zach Gelb on Twitter. Jason Diamond says, did the Saints use 100% of the playbook with Hill playing? If not, Winston should just start. My thoughts. Great show as always at Zach Gelb, CBS Sports Radio. They're not using 100% of the playbook, even if Jameis Winston starts. Jameis Winston doesn't know that entire playbook. Didn't have a full offseason. I know he probably knows a good amount of it, but he doesn't know the whole playbook by now. That's a complex offense. There's no way he knows the entire playbook. But there are limitations on what you could run with Taysom Hill.
Is this going to be a success or is this going to be a failure on Sunday? Trace, do you walk away saying, wow, Taysom Hill did a good enough job? Or do you walk away saying either the Falcons won the game, Saints lose, Hill played a bad job, or maybe Hill even has a good game and then the Falcons win? Or even, I'll give you every situation possible, every scenario, maybe the Saints win and Taysom Hill doesn't play well. I'm just so curious to see, because we haven't really seen much of Taysom Hill other than this role of what he's been able to perfect and play well in. Now he's going to be the starter. How many points are we expecting? You'd think Saints, explosive offense, prolific, a lot of points, prolific passing. If I give you the over-under right now, 23.5 points on Sunday. You take the over, you take the under. Is that a little high on the over-under? I think that's probably fair.
No, I honestly, the number in my head when you said that, I said 21. So I'm going to take the under slightly. I think it's a good over-under.
Okay. So 21, that means you probably think the Falcons win the game? 24-21?
I'm not ready to go there.
Okay. So 21-17?
It's going to be like an ugly game. I think the Saints will win.
Okay. There you go. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
From the outhouse to the penthouse, Carlos Dunlap. He's had a very good career. Was in Cincinnati. No shot of going to the playoffs. Then last night, game-winning sack with the Seattle Seahawks. Stock up, Carlos Dunlap. We've been talking about him for a lot of the show. Taysom Hill expected to be the starting quarterback on Sunday. Let it rip. Let's see what you got, Taysom Hill. Stock up, Taysom Hill. Trevor Siemian, because of Drew Brees going to IR, he's now signing to the practice squad, the active roster for the Saints. Trevor Siemian! Now, is he even going to be active on Sunday? He probably isn't inactive. But can you imagine they start three quarterbacks? They have three quarterbacks that are active, which could be a possibility. Taysom Hill, not playing well. They go to Jameis. Then, unfortunately, Jameis gets hurt. And we see Trevor Siemian. Yeah, I have no interest in seeing Trevor Siemian play another down in the National Football League. But stock up, Trevor Siemian. Little late-breaking news, Shams Charania. Montrezl Harrell expected to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers. He goes from the Clippers to the Lakers. How about that for a rivalry move? As we're always watching the Lakers and the Clippers. The Clippers have their own problems with how everyone's going to deal with Paul George, and Ty Lue's got a lot of work to do out there with the Clippers, how that ended, and he was a part of that team last year. But Montrezl Harrell, stock up. Love that move. Little battle of L.A. going from the Clippers to the Lakers. I always loved when Danilo Gallinari played for the Knicks, and they would be like, Danilo Gallinari, that and Carmelo Anthony. Joe Tolleson, I think, is the in-house announcer, the PA guy for the Knicks. Danilo Gallinari, always a name that has been stuck in my head. And now he's going to the Atlanta Hawks. Stock up. Danilo Gallinari. De'Aaron Fox, who is a damn good player, but I don't think he gets enough national love. He signs an extension with the Kings. 5 years, $163 million.
It's the max.
Stock up, De'Aaron Fox. All right, I got one more stock up. And this goes to a man that is not in Milwaukee right now, but hopefully he stays in Milwaukee when he comes on back. He's in Greece somewhere. What? Can you check what time it is in Greece? Because we're all waiting. We're waiting for Giannis Antetokounmpo to make his decision if he's going to sign the Supermax.
It is 4:51 a.m.
Okay, so maybe if he gets up for an early little workout in 20 minutes and then says, all right, let's get pen to paper and sign this Supermax extension, maybe our hashtag, we get all our dreams come true. Keep the Greek freak. Hashtag keep the Greek freak. Keep tweeting it. I see your tweets right now. Good job.
But if you haven't tweeted it yet, you better hashtag keep the Greek freak and also hashtag sign the Supermax. I need to see more tweets. I'm seeing a lot of tweets. Very proud of the effort so far by the Zach Gelb Show Army. It's been a good collaboration with the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, one of our local affiliates, 1250 AM The Fan in Milwaukee. But we need more tweets. Got a lot. We got huge numbers. We need better numbers. Hashtag sign the Supermax. Hashtag keep the Greek freak. Let it continue to soar. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo, who has 1 year left on this deal. Let's hope by some point tomorrow or at the end of the weekend or maybe even early next week. Kind of Wednesday's my cutoff. If he doesn't sign the Supermax by Wednesday, then I'm a little bit concerned. But just get it done, Giannis. Stay in Milwaukee. Stock up to my guy, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I only got one thing negative to say on a Friday. On a Friday, I don't like to usually... Oh, that's just a lie I was going to say. I don't like to usually trash people. Sometimes that does happen. But I don't got a lot of negative things to say on this Friday. Only thing I will say, and I've been a big fan of this football team, but last night, a lot of questionable decisions by Cliff Kingsbury late in that game. And Kyler Murray, as good as he is, was just a little bit off down the stretch. And I know you can't really get on him for the safety because of bad job on the offensive line, but the play before, he had the intentional grounding. Cardinals have been a really good story this year, but it shows you they still got some work to do. Hey, you take it at 6-4, but for the last night performance, Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury just came up a little bit short. We give him a stock down. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Fun show on this Friday. I'd like to thank the Hall of Famer Rick Barry for joining us. Also, Gus Frerotte as well. And also, would love to thank each and every one of you for dominating and jamming the phone lines throughout the week. Also, jamming my Twitter feed. And also, listening to the show. We can't do it without you. We always appreciate the support and the love. And a lot of love to Ryan Trace Hickey for producing this extravaganza. Have a safe weekend. Talk to you Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. Talk to you Monday, everybody. We out. Peace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.